time in this place, say our God.
We've heard about God is our champion, and of course we heard the name Jesus called, and there's power in the name of Jesus. So with that said, we're going to go into our word again, and this may be a little repetitious for some of you, but I feel strongly that the Lord wants me to continue with this teaching that we started regarding the flesh. It's really important that we understand the difference between being in the spirit and being in the flesh. And so with that said, I want you to join me as I talk about the flesh, and I may do some review and some new things that you will hear. But I do believe we need to review this whole subject of overcoming the flesh. We need to know that we need to get that flesh under control. And so when we were last time together, we talked about that we need to make no provision for the flesh. And that's Romans 13 and 14. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And so we talked about overcoming the flesh. That was what we started with, you see, because we want to get that flesh under control. And so we said, since we cannot train the flesh, what are we to do? And first, we are to make no provision for the flesh. So the scripture says in Romans 13 and 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So when we stop to think about it, we plan for most of the sin that we do, we plan for that. We plan to buy extra food that we should not eat, and we plan to watch the movie that causes us to think lustful thoughts, and we plan to say things to hurt others, and we plan ways to hurt others who have hurt us. And so we just have to know that we got to train the flesh. So first, we need to stop making provision for the flesh. And so it's interesting this morning that I woke up with that song and we first heard, I have victory over the enemy and the world can't do me any harm. And that song was ringing in my spirit when I awakened this morning. I have victory over the enemy. And we have victory over the enemy. So people who say that they just can't help, you know, we had a brother, a gentleman that was a friend of my son Eric's, my late son Eric, and he's a, I call him a guru in recovery, meaning that he's a man in long time recovery, but that man's mouth is like a garbage can. And Reverend might know who I'm talking about. I'm not calling any names. But his mouth is like a garbage can. And so we had our little building over behind Shelman's Market that is no more. That property now is no more. But we asked him, they asked me if they could have their NA meeting at the church on Saturday night. And of course, I was so happy to do that, to have them come to our house and have their meeting. But I requested from the leaders that there be no profanity, because those of you that have attended, you know, the alphabet meetings, as we call them, know that some folks think they can't talk without cussing, without swearing. And so, you know, I didn't want that residue, spiritual residue, left in the sanctuary for us to come into on Sunday morning, because this was Saturday night. And so I asked for that. And so I had a deacon, she was in recovery, and I said, I want you to go to those meetings, because the person that was running the meeting, he was from the VA, from that program over at the VA, but he was a nice guy, and I told him what I wanted. And so this deacon was going to the meetings, and she came back and she said, call me Mother Frazier. Mother Frazier, you know, so-and-so, he just will not talk without using profanity. And the person who was leading the meeting from the VA, he asked him not to, told him what your request was. So I saw the man outside the church one morning, and I said to him, I said, you know, brother, I said, I'm so happy to have y'all having your meeting here in our sanctuary, but I don't want that profanity left, the residue of that left in my sanctuary for Sunday morning, because then I have to go in there, yep, go in there and pray it out of there so that people can receive from the word. See, I know about spiritual things. When you understand about spiritual things, you understand that whatever you put, let go out of your mouth, goes into the atmosphere. That brother sang about the atmosphere. Goes into the atmosphere, and it rests there. You know, whatever comes out of your mouth, you know, your words are alive. Words are alive. So anyway, and I should teach on that sometime. And so anyway, I told him, I said, so I would just appreciate it. You know, you were a friend of my son, Eric's, and I really, you know, want to have y'all use the facility, but I really want you to stop using profanity in there. And he looked at me and he said, I can't help it. And I looked at him and I said, you know what, brother? I'm sorry, I don't agree with you. You can't. That's a habit. That's a habit, just like when you use that heroin, because that's what he had been, a heroin addict. When you use that heroin, I think he was a heroin addict, but he was an addict. And I said, when you use those drugs, that was a habit, and you developed that habit. And so now I'm asking you to not develop the habit of cussing in the sanctuary where I have to have service on Sunday morning. And he told me no, he couldn't do it. So my example here is that we are to make no provision for the flesh. We are to put that flesh under. We are to stop, just like you stop using dope. And what you do to not use dope, you need to use it to not allow doubt and unbelief to come out of your mouth, because you make provision for that thing to happen, and then that's when the sin comes. So when we stop to think about it, we plan for most sin. We plan to buy extra food that we should not eat. We plan to watch the movie that causes us to think lustful thoughts. We plan to say things to hurt others. We plan ways to hurt others who have hurt us. And you could ask a friend to come to church, and his response or her response may be, well, I have to see about that. What is he saying? What is she saying? He's trying, most likely, to plan a way he does not have to come to church. There's a way in which sin is right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's Proverbs 14 and 12. And it is so true. There is a way. there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that it is death. Death doesn't mean always stop breathing, but death is something that happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve died before they were cast out of the garden. They realized that they were naked because they did something that God asked them not to do, and the devil convinced Eve to do it, and she convinced Adam to do it, and they both fell from grace. And their eyes were open to the flesh. You see, that's what happened to them. Their eyes were open to the flesh. When you open, you plan to sin, you plan to do stuff that is not of God, you open the door for the flesh. I'm trying to make that as plain as I can, because we need to understand that. 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So exercise, you talk about exercise here. Well, we exercise in the flesh. And those of you that exercise on a regular basis, I don't want to discourage you. There's nothing wrong with exercise. You're doing that for your flesh. But you need to know, you need to do some stuff to cause your spirit man, and we say that for both men and women. I don't want you to say I'm just talking to men. For our spirit man, our human spirit needs exercise. Our human spirit needs to be trained to operate in us so we can stop operating in the flesh. Well, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about now. You're really confusing. We are three-part beings. We are spirit, soul, and body. So we have this body, this flesh and blood body. And then we have a soul. The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. I didn't know that God was going to send me this way, but this is a good way to help you understand about the flesh. So your soulish realm, mind, will, and emotions, that's where that flesh comes in. You see, you can operate in the flesh from your head. Your mind, your soulish realm. You see, you are a spirit being. God created us. We are spirit beings, and we live in a flesh and blood body at this time, and we will live in this body until we leave this earth and go home to be with the Lord, and then we will get our glorified body. And that's another teaching altogether. But we are spirits that live in a flesh and blood body. And we have a soulish mind. Mind, soulish realm. Mind, will, and emotions. This is a basic teaching I'm doing that you may have heard or you may not have heard. And I think you need to understand what your makeup is if you don't already know that. So you're in a flesh and blood body. This body is basically, so you're not operating. I don't know if any of y'all are old enough to know about this program that used to come on. And it was about a man who had a car accident. A couple that had a car accident. And they died in the car accident. But they came back in the spirit in this movie, in this program, Topper. It was called Topper. You can go back and research about the movie Topper. And so they came back in the spirit. And the spirit was portrayed because how they portrayed it was, they didn't have a body. Okay? So their spirits were floating around in this man named Hopper's house. And things would move, but there was nobody there for you to see. Only Topper could see this couple. They would manifest in a body to him, but everybody else just saw stuff moving around in the house. And it really was a very funny program to watch, because they always were doing stuff that made Topper look like a fool. Because people would come to his house and things would be moved around and hidden and all of that. But what I'm trying to get you to understand, that your real you is a spirit. And you live in this flesh and blood body, and you have a soulless realm that is your mind, will, and emotion. So when we talk about making no provision for the flesh, we're talking about not allowing our soulless realm to cause us in our minds to plan to do wrong. Because that's where Satan gets us. He plants thoughts in our mind. He doesn't have any supernatural power over us, but he puts thoughts in our mind. And when he puts those thoughts in our mind and we entertain those thoughts, we then begin to plan to make provision for those things that Satan plants in our mind. This is a heavy-duty subject, y'all, and I can't go into it like I would like to right now. I didn't plan to go into it at all, but God's will, the Holy Spirit, tells me what to do. So the Holy Spirit, I pray this every night, the Holy Spirit dwells in me and tells me what to do. And so there you have it, overcoming the flesh. And then the second thing we talked about, we are to bring the flesh under subjection, meaning we need to keep this flesh under control. That brother that told me he couldn't stop cussing, that's a good example of that. You can stop cussing. How many of us in this congregation had a bad habit of cussing? I'm first. But you know, God helped me control that dirty mouth. And I know several people that I know that, honey, they would use words I never heard of, you know? But God, they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they put that flesh under subjection. And cussing is not the only thing. There's some other stuff that we do. That gluttony. Honey, I fought that battle still, that gluttony, because of the... You see, I'm a product of alcoholic daddy, okay? And you know, alcoholics, y'all know about alcoholics. Alcoholics drink till it's all gone. And do I have any witnesses in this house? You watch. They'll drink until it's all gone, and then they say, let me go get some more. And I guess addicts do it too, but I'm more familiar with the behavior of alcoholics because I came from that product. And I don't use liquor, haven't for years. God delivered me from liquor and cigarettes. I used to take a little sip, but God delivered me from cigarettes and alcohol at the same time. When he delivered me from those cigarettes, I also promised him that I was done with alcohol. But let me tell you something. That behavior is transferable. It's transferable because I still like to eat till it's all gone. If I have some candy, I eat and go back until it's all gone. Y'all recognize this? You have a cake, you cut you a little piece, and ooh, that tastes good. Let me go back and get some more. That's the kind of behavior that shows that you have some alcoholic behavior. Now, you may call it some other things like gluttony and all of that, but if you have history of alcoholics in your family, honey, there go I. I'm having fun with this morning, Lord, because, you know, we do these things and we don't understand why we are doing these things. And we're talking about overcoming the flesh. So I'm giving y'all some examples of overcoming the flesh. When I started with this, I didn't do that. And God has sent me back because he wants me to help you understand how to put that flesh under. So if you don't know what you're doing wrong, you can't change it, right? So that's what we're doing this morning. So, you know, alcoholics, y'all know you're going to drink it until it's all gone, and then let's go back and get some more until you pass out, okay? Until that bed starts turning round and round with you, you sick as a dog, because that alcohol has got your head swimming. Lord, forgive me, but it's the truth. I know for sure it's the truth. And, you know, I'm sure with them other drugs. Now, see, I didn't try the other drugs. I had enough fear put into me in junior high school about heroin and all of that. That, you know, I tried to smoke pot, but, you know, I didn't like that because it made you too slow. Alcohol is a stimulant, you know, and I'd like to dance. And so that was fine with me. But that other stuff, my friends that smoked that weed, child, they'd be sitting up looking at each other stupid. And I thought, no, that is not for me. So anyway, in my substance abuse days, it was alcohol. And I come from an alcoholic family, and alcohol literally took the lives of my two brothers, unfortunately. And my dad died, not necessarily of alcoholism, but of the symptoms that might go along with alcoholism. Anyway, praise the Lord. We want to overcome the flesh. That's what we are doing, and make no provision for the flesh. So we have to stop making provision for the flesh. And we need to understand that we read Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It might look all right, and it might be fun, and you might enjoy it, but it's leading you down a road that is a road of no return. That's what death is. It's the end. It's the end. And the only thing that changes for us human beings is that there is life after death for us. When we die, this death, this flesh and blood death, our spirit lives on. And so your spirit is going to live for eternity. And your spirit's going to live somewhere. And now's the time for us to decide where we want it to live, because it's going to live on. Do you want to spend your spirit, want to spend the rest of eternity in hell? Or do you want to spend it in heaven, worshiping and praising the Lord? You see, because you are not finished when you leave this earth. Your spirit lives on, and your spirit goes somewhere. And that's a whole nother teaching. So I'm just setting up some information here that we will go back to in other teachings. So we need to put our flesh under subjection. We need to get this flesh under control. So Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27, "But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You see, we should see that we are either serving God, are we serving the flesh? So Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters." That's what Jesus said. "For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one, and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That's Luke 16 and 13. We can't walk down two roads at the same time. Furthermore, we as believers don't have to be a slave to sin. We don't have to be a slave to sin. So we see here that the scripture says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, but you should obey it in that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we say? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that whom you yield yourself to, you become a servant to obey? To his servants ye are to whom you obey. So, you know, this is the King James translation, but you can read it in another translation, or I'll share that with you next time. Whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So let me read that one more time so you get it. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? That's Romans chapter 6, 12 through 16. The question is, to whom have I made myself a slave? We are either slave to self, the devil, or to God, in as if there is a an executive board meeting. Let's look at this and then I'm gonna stop. So we're talking about an example of an executive board meeting. At that meeting is the flesh that says, I desire such and such. You know, our flesh is very demanding. And then the mind, that's our intellect, says, I think such and such. And the will says, the will says, I will do it. I can do it. I will not do it. Or I just can't do it. See, the will say one of those things. The will will say, I can do it. And the will can also say, that I can't do it or I won't do it. See, your will is involved. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Your will is involved. God created us with a will. He created us with a mind, will, and emotion. And that will needs to be under the control of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, because that will get us in plenty of trouble. So we're talking about, this board, executive board. So what we need to understand, the will is the chairman of the board and can take charge itself, I will, or it can yield to any other party that is there, the flesh, mind, emotions, or the spirit. The will should do this. It should yield to the Spirit. You see, our will should yield to the Spirit, the big S Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. The little S Spirit is our human spirit. We should say, not my will, but that thy will be done. That's what we should say, that because that's what our Father prayer says for us. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. We should make our will the servant of the will of God and do his work by his power. I'm going to stop right there because I'm getting into something, and I see we're going to be on this subject for a little while. Because I want y'all to understand the roles that are played when you submit yourself to God. There are these other controlling ways that you have already. You're born with your mind, will, and emotions. And who you gonna follow? Who are you gonna follow? How are you gonna follow God? You got to understand the role that your mind plays and how the devil uses your mind. You got to understand about your will and how God gave us a human will. And so we can make decisions for ourselves, but we need to make the right decisions. And most times we don't, unless we're following God and hearing his voice and knowing his word. And then our emotions, what role do your emotions play in all of this? You see, because those emotions are very important. We need emotions, but we need to have them under control. Everything needs to be under the control of God. That's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to really break this down. I see God is leading me that way so that you understand that. So we're now going to stop. We stopped right now. We were talking about how the Spirit, what the Spirit says to us in this board meeting. And we're going to talk about next time we're together, we're going to take off the old man and put on the new. We're going to take off that old man and put on the new. That's what we're going to talk about next time. And next time, we're going to talk about the fourth thing. We're going to deny the flesh. We're going to learn how to do these things and understand what role they play in our relationship with God, because it's very important. And so with that said, I'm going to stop. I'm going to ask Reverend to dismiss us this morning. If there's anybody here that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer him to you in Romans 10, 9, and 10, where it says, if you confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth and believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And we want it. Anyone who is not saved to know that if you want to be saved today, you just invite Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I know that you were crucified, that you died, and that you were resurrected on the third day so that I could be saved. I desire to be saved. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I want to serve, and I thank you for the price you paid at Calvary for my sins. Amen. All Amen. Right, Reverend, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us, and we'll get back to this the next time I'm preaching. We're going to go right back to this. I think God is really wanting us to really break this down and help people to know, because I know we still have habits. Still do things that God doesn't want us to do, and we need to be delivered from them. And so we need to learn how to be delivered. I'm telling you, I know for sure that he will deliver you. He delivered me from cigarettes, and I went cold turkey, as y'all call it. He delivered me from alcohol. I wasn't another drug user, but I know I've seen too many people that he's delivered from other drugs. So I know that whatever habit you got, that brother who said he couldn't stop cussing was lying. Because I'm telling you, God can change the conversation. So anyway, with that said, Reverend, dismiss us.
Amen. So yes, we know God brings us out of those things. Crack, meth, alcohol. And I was like, I almost said his name. I was like, what's his name that cursed too much? But I thought I can never stop smoking marijuana. I smoked marijuana since I was 12 years old. I said, well, even when I was in rehab, I said, well, okay, when I get out of here, I'll just do marijuana. I won't do. But after 6 months in there, I decided I couldn't do that neither. But he brought me out of smoking marijuana, and I used to love marijuana. And y'all know me. I tell the truth. When I smell it right now, I just like the smell of it. But I know what God delivered me from, and I know what'll happen if I go back.
That's right.
So yes, he is a deliverer, and I've been working on that mind custody, what you talked about last time, training the flesh, and this time overcoming the flesh, and that's important, because my mind was doing so much cursing, and my mind, not my mouth, y'all. Let me get that straight, not my mouth. He got me. God trained my mouth. And I don't let those words come out of my mouth, but what good is it if it's in your mind?
That's right.
I've been working on that training, that mind, to not curse them people out who cut in front of me, not cuss them people out who just act plain ignorant. And I'm training my mind, and it's kind of working. I'm getting better, y'all. I'm getting better. I'll pray on it.
Amen.
But overcoming the flesh, Pastor, we thank you for that message, because that's things we need to do. And not only with cursing and alcohol, but eating and other things too.
Yes.
So I'm glad you're continuing with that. And I'm going to be looking forward to getting rid of the old man, because I still got some of him in me. So, and I know when you say that, you mean men and women, but getting rid of the old man, I'm going to be looking forward to that one, because I got a lot of the old man still in me, like that doggone vapor and everything else. But anyway, thank you for that word. So Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God. We thank you for the message, Father God, that went forth this morning, Father God. We thank you for the messenger, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you continue to give her these messages that she gives to us. We pray that you continue to give her those messages, Father God, that we can use in our daily lives, Father God. So we just thank you for that, Father God. We just thank you for that word, Father God. We thank you for each and everyone here this morning, Father God. We thank you, and we ask the hedge of protection over them, Father God. We thank you for everyone that calls Bread of Life their home, Father God, past, present, and for the ones that will call Bread of Life their homes in the future, Father God. We lift them up to you, Father God. You know them before they even come, Father God. So we just thank you for them in advance, Father God. And we thank you for the ones who have kind of lost their way, Father God. Kind of lost their way, Father God. They may be lost to us, but you know exactly where they are today, Father God. As we dismiss, Father God, we ask the hedge of protection over each and every one of us, Father God. We ask that hedge of protection over every family member represented here today, Father God. And we just thank you this morning. We just thank you, Father God, for all you do for us, waking us up, Father God. As much as I don't want to go to this job, you gave it to me, and I'm going to go, Father God. So I just thank you for the job, Father God. I thank you for everything you do, Father God. And we all just give you praise. We give you honor, and we give you glory, because all of it belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so one of the things I just want to point out is Reverend gave a good example of making provision. See, we can make arrangements. Provision, I like the word arrangement. We make arrangements to do wrong. And if you think about it, just think about it. You know, you can prepare your mind to tell you, to agree with you, that you're doing wrong, but I'm doing this, but, and I know, but. So I just had to add that for today. But anyway, thank God for all of you that were here with us, and thank God. We don't know what happened to Brother Cedric. I think we lost him, but praise God. I thank God for you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a blessed day now.
Everyone have a blessed week.
Have a nice day. Right. Thank you.
All right, Sister Denise, glad to see you.
Glad to see you also, Reverend.
All righty, have a good one.